Amen. Church was birthed in prayer. I mean, it was birthed in a prayer meeting. Amen. I just want to give you a little bit more. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 29, I was thinking this early this morning. David said, "Is there not a cause?" If you think about this, David, if you read the Psalms, they're not all praise psalms. Some of them are psalms of prayer. So here's David on the side of the hill, a type of the church, so to speak, and he's praising God, but he's also praying to God. And with those two elements, when he came up to the battle, he couldn't believe that Saul and the army was just standing around in fear. Because praise and prayer cause us to get the cause of God. And we're still under that mandate of God's cause. And you know, I love this in Psalm 24. This is in my message, just an introduction. But Psalm 24, I love that. I'm going to have those scriptures up in just a second. But Psalm 24 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein." That pretty much says it all, doesn't it? God owns the earth, the fullness, the world, and everybody else. "For he founded it upon the seas," and you know, I just love this. "He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods." What does he say? Well, if you go to Genesis chapter 1, you see that the earth was without form and void, but it goes on to say that there was water all over the earth and on top of the earth. That's how he founded it. Founded it on water. But I love this next part. Everybody say, who?
Who?
"Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord?" Wow. That's an interesting question. Number one, I thought everybody could ascend the hill of the Lord. Number two, why do I need to ascend? And number three, how am I qualified? Well, he says, goes on to say, "Who shall stand in his holy place?" Two questions. Who shall ascend and who shall stand? Clean hands, pure heart, not lifting up the soul to vanity nor sworn deceitfully. God doesn't like lying. In fact, it's one of the things he hates, according to Proverbs, or a deceptive look. But I love this word ascend. Who shall ascend? God, can we ascend above our thoughts? Can we ascend above troubling thoughts? Can we ascend above conflicting circumstances? Can we ascend to real or perceived hurts? David said, you know, life just isn't about me taking care of sheep and having a nice little tent and be blessed. I've got to ascend in this life. You see, the combination of praise and prayer gives me the energy and power to press through that normally I wouldn't press through. Some of you had to press through today to come to church. And my prayer life gives me the power to go through anything. So I want to talk today about a man in the Bible named Solomon. Everybody say Solomon.
Solomon.
Now Solomon, of course, was the son of David and Bathsheba. Now, what is interesting to me, because years ago I was preaching on this, and all of a sudden I said something, I had never heard it or never read it. I was thinking, I said this, why did God choose Solomon from Bathsheba, who, you know, the affair, why didn't he choose a son out of the other wives, because some of them weren't Israelites? I believe this. I believe because Bathsheba was completely innocent in the affair, David overpowered her, and she lost her precious baby because of David. Now you tell me that God is not the God of restoration. God saw what happened to her, and God saw, he's seen what's happened to you. And God says, I'm not going to pick Abigail. I'm not going to pick, because otherwise, I'm going to pick Bathsheba, who was violated by David. And I'm going to give her a baby that will be one of the greatest kings, the wisest, the richest that ever existed. Don't tell me God can't restore. Don't tell me God can't cleanse and heal and put back together that which is shattered. I want to talk about Solomon, because Solomon had a couple of prayer meetings with God that's astounding. I mean, he had a couple of prayer meetings where God just basically came into the room. And, you know, to me, I'm very intrigued by that. And I want to learn from it. How about you today? How hungry are you? Let's go back to our saying, prayer is privileged access to God. We're privileged to pray. It's an access. But you see that little lock on there? That lock is only turned by my desire and my understanding how much I want to know God. See, to many people, they think a 2-minute prayer at dinner time unlocks that lock. It does not. If you're seeking with all of your heart, that's unlocked. Don't you want to walk into the throne room where God is? Because all of us have needs, honey. And all of us are facing things we don't understand. God says, well, don't stay outside. Come in. Because Hebrews says, it's a throne of grace and mercy. What is prayer? We talked about this Friday night. Prayer is where I draw near. Amen. People say, well, I don't have a lot of time. You can pray in your car on the way to work. You can pray in the shower. You can pray on your way back from work. Amen. I find out there really is no excuse not to pray. I just don't have an unction to because I've lost something. Prayer is where I hear. I said, prayer is where I hear God. Who would want to hear God? Who would want to hear Him speak to you? It doesn't mean every time I pray, I hear God say, all right, Bill, today I want you to, don't go to D&D, I want you to go to Walmart with us. No, I don't hear that every day. I've never heard that. That's where I hear. I believe there's a correlation from people who are believers that can't hear God. I don't know what to do in their prayer life. Because I'm convinced after serving God almost 50 years that hearing is a benefit of praying. Third thing, prayer is where things are made clear. I said this Friday night when you're in the Army, the Navy, the Marines, you get orders from headquarters. They're clear orders. Is that true, soldiers back at the sound booth? Where's the yes, sir?
Yes, sir.
I guess it wasn't clear. Okay. Don't you want stuff clear? Listen, don't you want stuff clear in this moment? I don't want foggy stuff. I don't want to be over here eating out of this field when I should be here. I don't want to walk around like, oh, I don't know what's happening with my life. I want something clear, God. And prayer is where it's made clear. Worship is where God renews us with His presence. The Word, where it cuts and grows. But prayer is where I make things clear to God's people. Look at the Bible, where God spoke to people when they prayed or after they prayed. God can speak to you in a worship service, we know that. But that doesn't mean I don't need that time. I want answers. That's why I love the Columbo series. And I watch Perry Mason, which is really complicated. They put 8 different people and you think they're all guilty. And I'm trying to think, I want to know who did it. I don't want this, well, whatever. And you know, some people live their life, oh, whatever happens, case and raw. I'll go through the tulips, skip through the fields, it's all wonderful. Well, even in the movie, it wasn't wonderful at times for Juliander's. Rubens, would you mind? Huh? I want it clear. If the trumpet doesn't give a clear sound, who shall prepare himself for war? Paul said that. Well, listen, man, I know we
for souls. If there's not a clear sound from the pulpit, who on earth's going to get ready to meet the demand of the day? When all hell and its fury is poured out because the devil knows he has a short time. And so I've learned over the years, some folks don't want it clear, man. They want a little, you know, every Sunday a cruise ship service. It's like this man, you know, the pastor got up and said, you know, after the service we're going to have a board meeting. And so the board went and met in a room, and a man who was a visitor, first time visitor, went in there. And the man, the pastor, well, this, you know, why are you here? He said, well, after that service, I could never be more bored in my life. Poor feeding at that. You got to hear that. Fourth thing, prayer is where Jesus becomes dear. Now, that's Muhammad in a worship service. Wonderful. That's the beginning. But you don't see me kissing my wife in a worship service. I kiss her alone at home. And there's only so much dearness you can draw close to God in a worship service. He doesn't want us to avoid the secret place where it's Jesus and you. That is the highest place of my Christian life, is the secret place. Prayer is so important. Now let's talk about Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 6. If you have it, say amen. You don't really have to have it when you come to talk. Lift your phones too. And I know some of you are looking at restaurants already. Please don't do that. God will show you which one. As long as it's an iPhone, I'll take it. It's the other black and white stuff. The screen I don't want. Anyway, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 6. My father David, your servant, was honest. I tell you what. You have a prayer life, God will convict us about lying. God will convict us about being two-faced. God will convict us about being deceptive. You can't talk about somebody behind their back and then just go up to that person like, I don't know what I'm talking about. God says, what are you talking about? I'll convict you on that. Move on. Your servant was honest and did what you commanded. How many of you know obedience is still better than sacrifice and the heart than the fat of bread? See, it's only in prayer that God says, you know what, Bill, you're not quite as obedient as you think you are. Oh, you're obedient to this and that. There's a few things you need to work on. Not in condemnation. Because God rewards us when we obey, right? He said in Deuteronomy, I set before you life and death. Choose life. Choose the road of your submissive obedience to God and His Word. You were always loyal to Him, and you gave Him a son who is now king. Lord God, I'm your servant, and you've made me king in my father's place, but I'm very young, and I know so little about being a leader. Don't you think God for his transparency and honesty? Yeah. You know, sometimes as we get older as Christians, we lose that. Put up guards. I'm very young and a little about a leader, and now I must rule your chosen people. And that's not like rule, like some kings rule when they oppress. No, he's talking about really oversight. Solomon was very pastoral leader. He was not a tyrant. I must now oversee your chosen people, even though there's too many of them to count. They figure it's about 19 to 23 years old. My gosh. How do you take that over from David, the giant killer, the psalmist, the prophet of Israel? Everybody loved him, tribe of Judah, Hebron, all of them, and all of a sudden it's like, you're the man. I mean, he's being honest. Another translation says, I'm like a little child. I don't know how to go into that. Have you ever been in a situation where you don't think a child? I'll give it my best, but I need something to do this thing and do it right. See, it's one thing to do something, it's another thing to do it right. It's one thing to do something, it's another thing to do it with excellence and wisdom. I love this. Here's his prayer. Give therefore your servant an understanding heart to judge thy people. Not judge like they're going to hell, you're going to be killed. No. In other words, to help them. How do you know we have to make judgments every day? Amen. Not judgments against people. We have to make judgments. Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? Should I wait? Should I go? That I may discern. Everybody say discern. Let me tell you something. You want to have discernment, you got to pray. You can't get it by just praising. Something happens in prayer. God tunes something where you can discern good from evil. You can discern wrong spirits. You can discern hatred towards you. You can discern it. Comes in prayer. Between good and bad, for who is able to judge this so great a people? Wow, wow, wow. What's an understanding heart? Interesting word in the Hebrew. The root word there means to hear. Give your servant a heart to hear, because hearing is predicated on my ability to obtain wisdom. If I can't hear, I cannot be wise. It also means to discern. Remember the two prostitutes that came to Solomon? And they said, this is my baby, this one slept on it and killed it. And they said, no, it's the other one. And Solomon had discernment. He knew which one, well, he knew what to do. He said, bring the baby here, I'm going to cut it in half. He knew the mom would say, no, don't do that. Now, what if he had not had discernment? He said, well, I'll just get in a time machine and go to 2022 and have a DNA testing. You see, as much as I love technology and advancement, no replace for wisdom. I said, there's no replacement for it. He said, I want a heart to hear wisdom, divine guidance, and instruction. I need an understanding heart. Children of Issachar were those that had understanding of the times, what they ought to do, and what they ought not to do. Now look at how God answers. You know what God wants to answer your prayer? You know God wants to answer your prayer?
Yeah.
No, I'm saying again, you know God wants to answer your prayer?
Yeah.
God doesn't love Solomon any more than he loves you. This is God's answer. And God said unto him, now I want you to notice this, how God showed that he's more interested in the motive of a person's heart and their purity rather than their long, exorbitant prayers. He said this, because. What does that mean? Let's find out why the cause. It's a cause. Because. The cause. Because. The cause. Because you put this cause into motion. You've asked this thing. You've not asked for yourself long life. In other words, you've taken yourself out of the formula. You know, you can pray, it's all about me and mine, me and mine, me and mine. He said, you know what? You love those people. I don't need anything else. I need to see those people like you see them. And when the church in this hour sees people like Jesus sees them, sheep without a shepherd, perishing in the way, and not about my ministry, blah, 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 my this, my car. Solomon said, ha. God said, you know what? You didn't have, you got self out of the formula. You don't even want to do that in prayer. Neither have you asked for riches. There's nothing wrong with being blessed. But if my whole life is about money, as a believer, I'm in trouble. I need to get in the prayer closet and God let God strip that of me. Last time I checked, naked I came in. You want to finish it? Come on, Bible believers. How you going now? You're not asked for long life, you didn't ask for riches. Nor have you asked for the life of your enemies. In other words, God, you're the judge on those enemies. I don't even deal with them. I don't have time to figure out what you're going to do. But you've asked for understanding to discern judgment. In thy getting, get understanding. Behold, I've done according to your words in prayer. We believe God can do according to our words in prayer. It's very important in prayer what we say to God. I've given you a wise and understanding heart. You know, when I get to eternity, one of the things I want to do after I see Jesus, the Father, see a few folks up there, saints I love. I want God to show me. I want Jesus to show me. I want to hold his hand when he shows me up. All the foolish things I did after I got saved or wasted time, they just show me, Lord, because I want to know. Because just because I'm a believer doesn't mean I can't do things with wisdom every time. It doesn't mean I haven't missed it. And I'm going to tell you, one of the biggest places we've missed it is in personal relationships with other believers. I said with other believers. We have done things, said things, harbored things. And that's foolish. That's not wisdom. So I'll be holding the hands of Jesus, Lord, just show me. I just want to know. He might say, I'm not going to show you. But I know. This character here, since I've been a Christian, has not done everything with wisdom. I've given you a wise and understanding heart so that there was none like thee, and there's not going to be nobody else like you. Do you know that you're so unique? What God has, let me say this, and if you don't get anything today, remember this and write it on the tablets of your heart and mind. God will not keep back what he has for you because he gave it to Solomon. He'll give you it. Oh, you're not a king, but he's got wisdom for you. He's not going to withhold it. One of the wise. I love hanging around wise people. I hang around everybody. But I think somebody that's a little more wise than me. Great to be intellectual. God can use that. But there are intellectual people who lived and died and are in hell today. They never had the wisdom to understand that Christ is over the same. Wisdom will guide you through the life. Wisdom will guide you in relationships. Wisdom will cause your mouth and tongue to say, I should not say that. Or wisdom will say, yes, open your mouth and say this. Wisdom will keep us. When everybody in the world is afraid again and again, if it's not this, it'll be something else. Because if we don't understand that the prince of the power of the air, he's the one to try to stop the church, stop the believer. He's the one with the spirit of Antichrist. And this demonic plan from hell called COVID came. Do you think it just came across the whole world because it spread? No, there was an evil plot. And if you look back in the Old Testament, you can see where the angel of death came into camps and killed hundreds of thousands. Yeah, the devil. Well, why was the devil allowed to do it? Because Jesus said, the prince of the power of the air cometh. He doesn't have anything in me. But the world has allowed an access point of darkness. What's the promise of the church? It's the believers to shine the light. It's the power of God on the right and the left. This kind cometh not out, but except by prayer and fasting. Amen. But we need wisdom in this hour, don't we? James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, that question isn't, we take this wrong. It wasn't like, well, there's got to be somebody here that's full of wisdom. No, he said, listen, let's look at it this way. All of us have a little lack. Like I said, our biggest place is personal relationships. But how about having wisdom what to do with your time? Amen. Your resources. Your gifts.
Let him ask for God.
We must approach God in prayer alone like Solomon.
Lord, you know, the calendar's saying I'm getting older, and you know, I got to use stuff for my bursitis, and herbitis, and hepatitis, and you know, I just don't want to go out here, you know, without having displayed the wisdom of Christ. And Lord, I might have wisdom over here, but it just seems that you know, my interpersonal relationships with other believers, I kind of just gravitate towards one person or this group, and I kind of avoid others, and that's not wisdom because that's not you, and that's not unity, and God will not accept that. To live above with saints I love, that will be more. To live below where saints I know, that's another story. You can laugh. I'm not up here saying, oh, everything is just always. There's always struggles in relationships. I don't care how spiritual we are. We need wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, then give it to all men. How? You know what that means? If you bring a thimbleful, you get a thimbleful. If you bring a bucket, you'll get full of bucket of wisdom. If you acknowledge there might be some areas, you look back how you wish you hadn't brought the ark up wrong. If you come with a swimming pool, God will fill it up. How much wisdom do you want? How much wisdom do you want to impart to a generation that is lied to and deceived? How much wisdom do you want to live out your days, not as an old foolish king, but a wise king? It's all up to us. And it's all in my prayer closet, asking God. It shall be given. Everybody say, it shall be given. As we begin to close, amen. Why pray for wisdom? Three reasons. Number one, wisdom is the great deficiency, and it is so needed in the average Christian's character. See, wisdom actually is a characteristic. It's a character trait. So it's foolishness. Wisdom is part of our character, amen? I mean, we can say, people can say a lot about you. Well, they're gifted, they do this, they're talented, you know, they're ambitious, you know, they can fight and all that. But when's the last time someone, would you want somebody to say, you know what? I see the wisdom of God. So we don't place it that high. But maybe we need more so people can see it more. Second thing, as Christian comes, wisdom cannot come from the world system. Wisdom only comes from God. Wisdom can't come from the world system. I'm not looking to the world for wisdom. I'm not looking for advice. And we have all these talk shows out there, all types of ones, and you know, and all good. I'm not looking to you, baby. I'm not talking about Christian ones. You know, the world ones. They got this opinion, and they hate this one, and this. Listen, give me the remote, please. I don't need worldly wisdom. I need spiritual wisdom. Because our walk is a spiritual walk. It's not a carnal walk. How about this? Wisdom has a great guarantee of the supply. The giving God whose gifts are bestowed on liberally and without a brain. We need wisdom. What does that have to do with prayer? Well, we're going to talk about types of prayer. This kind is out my prayer fast. We're going to talk about Elijah, the passionate prayer. We're going to talk about a lot of things, but we're going to lay a foundation here. Because, see, it's unwise not to pray. People that don't pray are unwise. Who is that wise and faithful servant? Whom the Lord will commend it when he comes, shall find him doing. Prayerlessness really is foolishness. Praying is putting my wisdom in his book. Personal prayer is the highway that allows corporate prayer to build steam up and get the job done in the
Little personal prayer, little power of corporate prayer. How many believe God wants us to ascend in this year? How many be honest with me this morning and say you might need to get back to the prayer closet in a different way? But praying doesn't tell God what to do. It's not telling God how to work His will out. Guess what? It's not telling Him about the latest news. He knew it before He made the world. It's hard to conjure on the screen of our imagination an omniscient God that knows everything before He's created the world. He already knows the news. He already knows what needs to be done. And there's a place, when we talk about intercession, when we talk about supplication, but that's only one part of a prayer life. We establish Friday night. Our first part is to know Christ. It's to spend time with Him. And once we do that, we pray for wisdom. Because if I don't have wisdom, then I can go back into an habitual pattern of prayerlessness. But you know what? We're like Solomon. We will face crises in relationships. These two prostitutes was a relationship problem. He had the wisdom. Haven't you and I been through things? And I'm like, God, what is the wisdom? Go, don't go. Wait, push through. Do this, don't do that. God says, I've got wisdom. Stay in the prayer closet. Because you love the heart of that person, and you're not asking for yourself just to be wise, I'll put in your spirit when you wake up in the morning what to do. And the peace of God passes understanding. Guard your hearts, minds. Stand with me this morning. Worship together. And I want you somewhere in the worship song to ask God for a fresh wisdom.